words from the cross. That's what you see here in this text. And actually, I want to bring us to one word in the Greek, three words in English this evening. I really want to focus us on the 30th verse here in the text in just a few minutes. And as we make our way through the service, I want us to get to that picture of the victory of Christ in the cross, because it is finished. J.I. Packer has noticed this about the cross, and I think it's helpful for us this evening. As the disciples sat with Jesus in that dinner, they were a little befuddled by it. They had seen the victory of God in the Exodus, the typical and the great archetype of salvation in the Old Testament. That's what Passover celebrates. But they were not yet fully understanding all that it would bring in salvation for them. And J.I. Packer has these words that I think are helpful for us. The saving power of the cross does not depend on faith being added to it. Its saving power is such that faith flows from it. And this evening, when Jesus utters those words, "It is finished," our confidence flows out of the finished work of Christ. We come this evening because we have a confidence in our Savior. And the faith we have flows out of a great and finished work. Some of you have read the book, To Kill a Mockingbird. You know that story. It is a story of Atticus Finch and his children, and it is told through the eyes of his daughter, Jim and Scout, in chapter 10, if you want to go back and look. Jim and Scout, at one point, they get air rifles from their uncle Jack, I believe is his name, and they are excited about their new air rifles, their Christmas gift. And they are getting some instructions from their dad. Their dad tells them that he wants them to shoot tin cans, but he knows that they will get tired of that at some point. And he tells them that if they get tired of shooting the tin cans, that they can shoot blue jays, but they are not allowed to shoot mockingbirds, because to shoot a mockingbird is a sin. Now, the children are taken back by that a little bit, because they've not really heard Dad talk about sin before. And it is Miss Maudie who comes along and tells them that that is because the kind of bird that a mockingbird is, right? The mockingbird is one that sings beautifully. And first she tells them that they're one that doesn't rob the corn crib and doesn't make a mess with their nest. And they sing beautifully. And the mockingbird in the book is this picture. It's a metaphor, right? If you've read the book, if you haven't, I'm spoiling it for you a little bit, but you've had a long time. You've waited, right? It's a metaphor for innocence and vulnerability, for the ones in the book who are of the innocent and vulnerability. And the birds, like the finches and the mockingbirds, those are the ones who are these pictures of innocence in the book, right? And you get this picture of Atticus, who is the one who defends this man, Tom, who is wrongly accused of a heinous crime that he has not committed. His kids can't understand this man, their father, who treats others so well, why he is so wrongly treated. But he is a man of good intents. He is a man who cares for others. He is a man who does the right thing. And when he is asked why he defends Tom, he says that's the reason why. It is the right thing to do. To kill a mockingbird, it would be a sin. The one of innocence. When we come to the cross, the one of innocence is the one who is hanging there. He is the one who has sinned not, but he is the one who hangs there for the sins of humanity. The one who gives his life is the one who takes the sins for us. for the sins of the nations, that we might have relationship with God. And I want to say this evening that no one stands before the cross and is able to not feel exposed if you look on it rightly. And you see that in our text this evening. You see that the cross is the remedy, the true remedy for our need. It is Jesus' justifying work for us. One of the things that we love in this church is the work of Christ in our place. It is Jesus' justifying work for us that we hold on to so dearly because the gospel holds on to it so dearly. You know, at the cross, there were seven great words or seven great sayings that Jesus speaks in the end. Even when he is on the cross, his heart is for those that he would save. And three of those statements get made here in this text. Three of those statements are here. Woman, behold your son, in verses 25 through 27. I thirst, there in verses 28 and 29. And then finally in verse 30, it is finished. And I want you to see that these are emblematic of the saving work of our Savior. Quickly, the first two, because the third one is the one I want you to settle on this evening as we read and feast and then go forth into God's world of the finished work of our Savior. Notice there in verses 25 through 27, this Savior is to be trusted because he is one who has been trustworthy. Notice there in that part of the passage, 25 through 27, it actually comes on the heels of Jesus being put on the cross, and the soldiers who had brought Jesus to the cross, they are actually gambling for Jesus' garments. There are actually four soldiers and four women here in the Gospel of John at the foot of the cross. Four soldiers and four women at the foot of the cross, and the four soldiers are gambling for Jesus' garments, and the four women are grieving the loss of. There's the degenerates and the devoted right there together at the foot of the cross. There are those who are gambling, those who are alienated from the Savior, and those who are horrified by what's happening. And one of them is the earthly mother of the Savior. And Jesus looks down and speaks and says, "Woman, behold your son." And to John, who is writing here, he says, "Behold your mother." He entrusts one to the other that they may look after each other, or that John may look after his mother. And the truth that is there is true of all the cross. Jesus is always taking care of others. And that's what the cross is. It is to be trusted because he from there gives life and takes care. And from there, he took a penalty that we cannot take ourselves. Notice there, the next thing he says is in verse 28 and 29. Just quickly, I want you to see these two things in statement. He says, "I thirst," after Jesus knowing that it was now finished to fulfill Scripture and being given a little sour wine. Notice there, he thirsted, "I thirst." And it's this picture that fulfills Psalm 22, and you can find it in Psalm 69, 21 if you want to look a little later. But there's this picture here of Jesus, the man of sorrows, well acquainted with our grief. But here is Jesus who has borne our sins. He is depleted. His body is racked with pain. Spiritually, he has endured. Physically, he has endured. He has borne our shame and guilt. He is torn asunder. And that brings us to verse 30. It brings us to the weight of sin laid upon our Savior, to death itself, and to salvation for us. And this is the part of the text that I want to grip us this evening. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirits. Jesus triumphed over death at the cross. Jesus gave himself. I want you to see that there, that it was Jesus who bowed his head and gave up his spirit. That cry is not a weak cry, but a triumph cry. This is Jesus owning his calling, owning his work, owning the direction of the Father to save us from our sin. It is finished. His death was his victory. His death was your life. And I say that because the meaning of this word, "it is finished," is actually in the Greek. It's in the perfect tense. And what it is here is we could translate it this way: it is finished, and it will always be finished. If we were going to take it, that's what's being said here. It is finished. Jesus on the cross, he's literally saying that it is done. It is done now and forever. That is the encouragement for us this evening. Some 2,000 years removed from the cross of Jesus, we still bask in the full, final, and finished work of Jesus Christ. What is finished? Not just the suffering of our Savior, that moment in time, but the work of our Savior in ending the power of sin and its judgment upon us. What is finished? What is finished is his obedience to the Father's will in our place. He had obeyed perfectly in our place. He had done what we couldn't do. He had obeyed actively and done what you and I are unable to do. He had done in our place. He is the fulfillment of the keeping of the law, the obedience of God in our place. In Galatians 2, we find this, that I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Our hope of life is being found in him, the one who died, the one who stood in our place, the one who fulfilled the very law that Pastor Wade fails to fulfill. And you do. The good law, but the law that breaks us, he never broke. He did that. He fulfilled in all obedience the works that he was to fulfill. But not only it is finished in his obedience, but it is finished in justice call. He did all that justice demanded. He fulfilled all that justice demanded before the Father. He is the just and justifier, we're told. In Romans 3, we're told in Romans 3:24, after we're told that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. He justifies. He's the one who makes things right. Or you can look on in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 20 and 21, particularly verse 21, but in 20 we're called to be ambassadors for Christ, that making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. Why are we to be reconciled to God? We're to be reconciled to God because for our sake he made him, that's Jesus, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him, that's Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. He is the one who fulfilled all justice and was righteous. He did that which is righteous so that we might be right with God. Righteousness has been upheld. Not only that, was Jesus' work finishing all that was declared obedient and just, but he did all that would redeem and give us redeeming love. Romans 8, which so many of you love and we have dealt with recently here. What shall we say of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? What shall separate us from the love of God? Nothing. In heaven above or in earth below, all we have is because Jesus uttered these words, "It is finished." Jesus' victory over death this night, the night we celebrate this Last Supper, tomorrow when we celebrate the crucifixion, as we remember him being laid in a tomb on Saturday, and Sunday when he is raised from the grave bodily, when we are reminded of the work, the final, full, and finished work of our Savior, who is ascended and now seated at the right hand of the Father, we are reminded that that victory is our victory too. His victory over death means that death is but a shadow of all who are found in him by faith. That instrument of death, which scares us, was also the instrument of victory that belongs to Christ and is ours. Because the epicenter of the Christian life is constantly attached to the cross. It is staked at the cross. And we come here tonight with empty hands that we may be able to leave with full hearts. Everyone comes before the Lord with empty hands, but at the cross we leave with filled hearts in the fullness of the work of Christ. Because he kills the disease of sin, and writes us in the beauties of trusting him by faith. This is the beauty of this text, and it's the beauty of the cross, that our Savior has said, "It is finished." It's the delight of this text, but it's also the delight of the Christian heart to live with a confidence, a hope, a peace, and even a joy that holds on in these kind of moments. The moments when the world around us seems to be falling apart. We are held fast because of the love of Christ and the finished work of our Savior. This is our hope, and this is our love, and this is the sustaining grace that will see us through. The work of Christ is enough, and that is what will hold us to the end. And we are reminded that the one who was truly innocent is the one who laid down his life to give us life and to sustain us for life to come. Jesus at the cross did the work that we could not do, that we might have the life that would belong to him. Faith is an instrument that draws us near, because the cross is the gift that brings us in to the glorified presence of the gracious King. Would you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, we are indeed thankful that you are a God who has come, who is drawn near, that we too may be drawn near. Father, we have nothing in our hands to bring, and only to the cross do we cling, to the faithful work of the sinless one, Jesus Christ. And we ask tonight that you would indeed show us our need of you and convict us of our need of you, and then by showing us our sin, help us to rest with full hearts by faith in receiving the joy and the peace and the delight that is ours in Christ the Saving One. Father, would you by faith help us to have the hope in Christ alone, who is the one who has finished the work of our salvation, that we might by faith hold on to him tightly and live for him fully. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.